Hello and welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Danny McKibben, one of the fellows that preaches at the Pine Top Church of Christ. Really glad that you've tuned in and hope as we study from the Word that we will be benefited, that we'll just learn, always trying to learn when you're studying the Scriptures and then figure out ways how you can make applications and be made better and be made closer to God and to know the things of God. And that's what this program is about, is searching the Scriptures. That's why we encourage you to follow along, get your Bible, follow along, listen carefully, examine all that we have to say. Be like the noble Bereans in that they search the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. I mean, Paul didn't get upset because people were checking out what he had to say with the Scriptures. I don't get upset. You're looking in the Bible, you examine what I'm saying. I just want people to know what's right. That's what we're about, is trying to teach people the truth of God, and we hope that our time will be profitable. We'll look here about Jesus going to Simon the Pharisee's house, and anyway, some interesting lessons here of the woman that came, and you might know the story, but if not, it's really one of the great stories of the Scriptures, and that's what we want to look at. All right, beginning in verse 36, it says, "And one of the Pharisees," and the Pharisees were the separated ones. They felt they were the watchdogs of orthodoxy. And so one of these Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And going into the Pharisee's house, he reclined, which was kind of the way that they would recline and kind of almost like a laying down on your elbow and eating and relaxing and enjoying company. It says in verse 37, "And behold, a woman, a sinner of the city, knowing that he reclined in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster vial of ointment." And so it says this woman's a sinner. Doesn't really identify what she had done. Generally, when you read about sinners in this kind of language, it's kind of an impenitent sinner, somebody that's doing wrong, not even trying to do good. Of course, the reality is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but generally, when you think of a sinner in this kind of language, it's somebody's not even trying. But she comes, and she stood behind him, weeping at his feet. I think evidence that she has just a genuine change of heart. Maybe she'd been living some immoral lifestyle or whatever, away from God, didn't care about God, but for whatever reasons, certainly learning about Jesus, and somewhere she has a genuine change of heart. And so there she is, weeping at his feet. And she began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. I mean, just the abject humility and godly sorrow that's in her heart. And she ardently kissed his feet and anointed them with the anointment. And so here she just feels so bad of what she's done wrong and how good Jesus is. And she's demonstrating great devotion and evidence of repentance, a change of mind, a change of heart. And that's what God wants. He wants us to change. No matter what we've done, no matter how much we've done, if we're willing to change, God's going to be willing to forgive. And that's the great thing about God. He's a merciful God. He majors in trying to restore us, and that's his focus. He's not waiting for us to mess up so he can just bash us over the head and get rid of us. No, he wants us to do good. He wants us to make change. It says in verse 39, "But he seeing this, the Pharisee who had invited him spoke within himself." Now, he doesn't come out and say anything, but he's thinking within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what kind of woman this is who touches him, for she's a sinner." Well, it certainly would be true that she's done wrong. I'm not trying to overlook that. And Jesus is certainly not going to wink at her sin, as he doesn't wink about anybody's sin. He doesn't just overlook it and say, "Oh, well, it's no big deal." No, it's wrong is wrong. But she's coming with a broken and contrite heart. I mean, in the Psalm 51, "A broken and contrite heart that will not despise." I mean, that's what God wants. He wants us to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves under the sight of God, that he may exalt you. That's the desire of God. And that's what she's manifesting. But I mean, this Pharisee, this Simon, he's thinking, well, you know, he was a prophet. He wouldn't even let this woman, because she's this old filthy sinner that wouldn't even let him, you know, touch his feet. And no, if anybody was going to touch Jesus, it was going to be a sinner, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, that's what Simon fails to see. That we're all in the same boat. Whether you commit one sin or 1,000 sins or 100,000 sins, once you commit sin, you're a criminal in the sight of God. And don't think because I haven't done a lot of sins that I'm somehow better off than somebody who's committed a whole bunch of sins. Because both the person that does a little bit of sinning or a whole lot of sinning, we stand condemned in the sight of God. And without the mercy of God and the kindness of God, we are hopelessly, hopelessly lost. So here she is, and this Simon, he's kind of thinking to myself, why is he letting this woman touch him? And answering, Jesus said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, well, teacher, speak. And he says, there was a certain creditor that had two debtors. So here's somebody that lends money, and, you know, like somebody that, like a bank, or somebody like a, you know, these lending services, whatever. And so he has two creditors, or two debtors. And one owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. A denarii would be like a day's wages. So one owed 50, and one owed 500. And they have nothing to pay. He freely forgave both. Then which of them do you say will love him the most? So here's somebody that owes 500 denarii, and somebody owes 50, and they can't pay, and, you know, they're looking for some sort of mercy and compassion, and the creditors, oh, okay, we're going to forgive the debt for both of you. And the question would be, well, which one would you think would love him most? Well, the one that owed 500, I mean, we'd probably say the same answer, because that's what Simon says, I suppose the one to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, you've judged rightly. That would be correct. They're both in trouble because neither one can pay. Whether you owe 50 or 500, you still can't pay, and you're in a difficult position. Well, that's the kind of way it is when you think about Simon. He had like 50 sins, and this woman had 500 sins. But neither one could really repay. And Jesus is coming to bring mercy and forgiveness and pardon. And so he says to Simon, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Well, that's kind of a rhetorical question. Of course he saw her. He says, I entered into your house, yet you gave me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with tears, her tears. Of sadness, of godly sorrow and compulsion, of the guilt of wrongdoing and the sadness of transgressing against God and the shame of wrongdoing. And here she's, all these tears that she has shed and has wiped them with the hair of her head. I mean, such humility, such devotion of being expressed. You gave me no kiss, which was a common form of greeting, kind of cheek-to-cheek type kissing. I see it particularly in other countries. That's very common in Latin America. You gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, a kiss on the cheek, but on the feet. Again, great humility manifested. Great humbleness. And the point is that we're going to see is that this woman who had been, who had done a lot of wrong, who's coming to Jesus and seeking his mercy, and he's granting mercy and forgiveness, and for her to have the blessings of being a follower of Jesus, of coming to Jesus. This is what we need to see. That we need to be devoted to the Lord. That whether we've been forgiven a lot, we need to show great devotion and thankfulness and praise and adoration to Jesus, because he's the Savior of all. whether you've committed a little sin or a lot of sin. We're all sinners. I mean, we're all criminals. Here somebody goes and, you know, they're at Walmart or place like that, and they steal this iPhone, they slip it in their pocket, and they go out, and, you know, security cameras have caught them, the police is there and catches them, and, you know, they're standing before the judge, and the judge says, now, you're accused of stealing and this phone from Walmart, and, well, how do you, well, no, Your Honor, I haven't killed anybody, and, you know, I didn't go around burning people's houses down, and, you know, I haven't beat somebody up and viciously assaulted anybody, didn't rape anybody, didn't commit espionage. Well, okay, all that's probably true, but how does that change the fact that you've stolen a cell phone? It's still, that's a crime. Stealing is a crime. This person's a criminal. Because you haven't done all these other things doesn't make you any less a criminal. And here's somebody that has, you know, assaulted people and murdered people and burned people's houses and raped and, you know, sold drugs to little kids, whatever. I mean, they're both criminals. They're convicted and they're both going to wind up in the same jail. Well, what's the point? The criminal's a criminal. And so both Simon and this woman were both sinners, both criminals in the sight of the Lord. Both needed forgiveness. And Jesus is just observing the devotion of this woman and her great humility and her great faith. And here she is, she's kissing my feet, she's washing my feet with her tears, wiping with the hairs of her head. And he says, "You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment." And such tremendous devotion and the signs of repentance and godly sorrow. "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. And he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those reclining with him began to say within themselves, 'Who is this even to forgive sins?' And he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" You see, her coming and the devotion and the expression of repentance and sorrow and belief in the Lord and who He is, that He come to be the Savior of the world and that He's the Messiah. He was the Anointed One. And to believe the message of the good news, that the good news, that there's salvation in Christ Jesus. And, you know, what she manifested is what all of us should be manifesting. Because whether we've committed just a few sins or we've committed a whole lot of sins, it doesn't make any difference. We're all criminals and we need forgiveness. And we need to appreciate and we need to flee to the Lord and flee to Jesus for this forgiveness that is manifested, that is offered and provided for us in Christ Jesus. And just thank God. Thank God that we have a Savior that loves us. Thank God we have a forgiveness provided by Jesus dying on the cross. And so I hope that we would be more like this lady, and not like Simon, but more like the lady. And that is that we're seeking Jesus and that we feel compelled to love and to be devoted to Him and have gratitude and turn from sin and wrongdoing and just follow after the Savior, the Redeemer. And be devoted to Him and to love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. And be the kind of people that God would have us to be. Well, if you're not a Christian, you can become one. You can believe in Jesus, the Son of God. And you can turn in repentance and let godly sorrow move you to make a change of heart and a change of mind, and therefore a changed life. Be willing to confess Jesus before men. And then to be baptized in water. Be buried with the Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, and you could be forgiven. And if we can help you in any way, feel free to give me a call. I'll be glad to help and talk with you. 606-308-5077. Well, we appreciate you listening, and we hope that you'll tune in next time. Until that time, we bid you farewell.